Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said today that they're not going to reopen schools in the fall. Not fully, anyway. They're going to come up with a hybrid model that's going to limit in-person attendance to just 1 to 3 days a week. Who knows what's going to happen in the fall. But what we've seen, the last couple of days is basically the all-out brawl, the political brawl over reopening schools. And look, who knows what 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month is going to bring us. If things continue, I don't know how you can reopen schools. But what we do know is the privateers and the profiteers are using this crisis as an opportunity to consolidate their power and really to push. And this is one of the things I was afraid of, that the charter people, the cyber charter folks, would take this opportunity, well, to ram that horrible medium down our throat. And here to share some thoughts on what's happening and what we can do, I have asked Sergio Flores to come talk with us. He's an executive board member with our good friends over at the Badass Teachers Association. He's got a new letter out, Dear Teachers Association Leaders Everywhere, written by Sergio Flores. Sergio, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really very happy to be talking to you and your audience.
So I'm reading through your letter to all these different leaders. And one little segment popped out at me, and you said that the policies founded on neoliberal ideology have proven to be ineffective, disruptive, and damaging to public schools, teachers, students, and democracy itself. And you asked the question, isn't it time for your profession, your livelihood, and public education for you to do something? And I would say, yes, it's time.
Thank you. Thank you for answering. I would like every leader in the Teachers Association, every teacher, every rank-and-file teacher, to say the yes that you are just mentioning right now. Because what we are dealing right now exactly is everything is on the line. I mean, the stakes are the highest there have ever been. Because we're not only talking about raises and benefits and all the little things, let's call it little things from the past. No, we're talking about life. Right now, we're talking about life. I mean, it's something that we have to really acknowledge that comes, I think, a good thing that comes out of this crisis, that it exposed how vulnerable we are living in this neoliberal bubble that was created and that we are believing. All the policies that we have, the competition, the choice, everything that comes from teacher assessment or dear life is right there on the line for teachers and all the schools that have been closed for no good reason at all. And we have been defunded, criticized, demonized. For what? We were saying, oh, this is the greatest country in the world. And this crisis just exposed the lie. Right. This is a sad lie. And all the neoliberal policies that we can name are either flawed, faulty, wrong, and damaging.
Now, when people hear neoliberal, what do you want them to think? I immediately go to privatization and profitization. What do you want people to think? Because it's a word that a lot of Americans haven't really gotten their head around. How do you define it?
I want to tell you, this is so funny because I have been defining it for a lot of people for the past 10 years, and this is a common word for a lot of people. Everything is exactly what you were saying. Privatization and profiting. That's exactly that. At the expense of the common good. That would be the key for everybody to understand. Neoliberalism is just the unregulated, unfettered capitalism when greed has and knows no limit. So everything is a commodity. You and me, all lives, nature are commodity for sale. So everything is just something that is placed on the market. Because these people, again, the corporate reformers, are very powerful and they have a greed that has no limit. So pretty much this is what we have now, this endangered world, when we are even talking, like you were saying at the beginning, we're talking about opening the schools. because it's good for the market. They're thinking about the market. And you know what's the real risk here? Life. And they're not even thinking about it. They don't even talk about it.
Yeah.
It's just what is good for the market. Think about it. Just, I hope your audience, please think just slowly, carefully. This is about saying, we're going to gamble with the life because it's good for the market.
No, I think I read a quote earlier from Lily Eskelson Garcia, the president of the National Education Association, who double dog dared Donald Trump to sit in a classroom with 39 kids and breathe and you know, not have any preparation on how to get them kids out safely. But you know, she said, you know, this isn't a bar. This isn't, you know, a nightclub. This is, these are kids' lives on the line. And I thought she was spot on accurate. I mean, we've opened up bars and now a lot of states have realized, uh-oh, bad idea. They've closed them back down. I don't want to see that happen in our schools where we swing the doors open and then all of a sudden have a massive spike and now we're in crisis mode.
And, you know, Lily Eskelson is an extraordinary lady that explains so clearly everything. I'm very sure, I mean, you had the privilege of listening to one of her explanations. For me, this is a very simple thing. Every teacher knows that they care about their students. Originally, all the teachers are the nurturing type, the people who care about the others. And they are now, I bet every teacher is in fear of being told to go to the schools. I mean, they want to teach. They want to do good. They want to do everything. But they know perfectly well what's on the line.
Right.
The lives of their students. And I want to tell you this. Many teachers are not even thinking their lives. Their own lives. They're thinking the students' lives. The parents that live with those students' lives. Imagine if we open the schools in this kind of environment. And we are going to just multiply the number of people who are going to be infected. And we are going to go from students to parents. We're going to have if we are having a hard time right now understanding how bad that is, just again, slowly and think how this would be if we had it 5 times, 10 times more.
Yeah, and not just from, you know, from the kids to the parents, but also the parents and the kids to the grandparents, and you know, the mental scars that would come. You know, one of the conversations I've had with my kids are, you know, I know you want to go out and you want to do all of these things. You know, what happens if you get it and you give it to us or, you know, our parents' generation and someone dies? That's something that you carry with you. I don't want to saddle a generation with you know, they killed off Granny.
Exactly like that. And look, just to pinpoint to the audience a little bit more of what dangerous an ideology like neoliberalism is, it's exactly what you and I are discussing. You are just placing lives on the bet. You're saying, can we gamble with the kids' lives, the parents' lives, the grandparents' lives? I mean, this is ludicrous. I mean, the government should be right now trying to deal with this situation.
Yeah.
Trying to protect every single life. And you don't see that.
No, and the other part of this is that it's, you know, this is a bipartisan thing. I mean, the attack on public education has been bipartisan for the last 20 years. You could argue that there are some on either side who have differing views, but mostly it's about destroying the public education system and putting it into the hands of the profiteers. But now it seems more about, you know, the tax dollars. I look at New York, which is doing some weird stuff. The governor of New York that you point out is, again, looking to, you know, someone like Bill Gates, who I think has caused enough trouble already to reimagine what education is going to look like. Nothing good here for me.
Exactly. Look, I mean, think about this. The greed is so, is there lack in the neoliberal environment? Greed is nurture. Greed is promoted. Greed is something that is almost a virtue for that.
Right, Gordon Gekko. Greed is good.
And profits are what matters to you, and that is why, for instance, you, your kids, my kids, they are commodities. And because you're a business person, all these neoliberal people think this is a business in which you might have some losses. Okay, if you have some losses, so bad, but you know, as long as the profits keep coming. That is the key element here.
Right.
And it's very, very bad now that they're, I mean, I was in really in disbelief when I heard that the governor Cuomo was saying, let's talk with the billionaires in order to see what the future can be with more technology in our lives. I immediately, you know, had this reaction, say, oh my God, they are just going to take this crisis and go for the jugular. That is what really scared me. And when you notice that, for instance, in California and some other states, they started saying, okay, we will have to cut funding for schools. That was a combination, the 1-2 punch. You say, oh my God, it's going to be bad right now. And when it's over, it's going to be worse.
Right, because you know, I said at the beginning of this, Sergio, I said that my great fear is that at the end of this, when this is over, that my local public school, my local brick and mortar public school, will be gone. Kids will be, you know, sitting at home with laptops. We're going to move everything to these horrible cyber charters, and that's what kids are going to be saddled with. I've been a little less concerned because I think parents are waking up to the reality that it's a crappy system and kids don't like it. It's not good for them. But, you know, our policymakers, you know, when you're talking to the bean counters, it's fiscally responsible.
Exactly. But, you know, this is the point. One thing is to be fiscally responsible. And I bet everybody knows the meaning of that. And everybody wants people who are seriously taking care of business. But another thing is when you say, hey, wait a minute, we are in a unique situation in which we have lost a lot of lives. Right now in the United States, we lost, 130,000?
Yeah, over that.
Number. We passed the 130,000. For anyone who thinks that is an insignificant number or a number that doesn't mean anything to you, probably because you don't know anyone who has died or has been sick, I mean, I want them to think like this is the reality right now. And this is what these people who say they are fiscally responsible are thinking about. I mean, this is absolutely absurd if you think in terms of citizens. You first, then being a business person, you're a citizen. You need to take care of the citizens. That's why we have a government. The government is for the citizens to regulate the life around the state. We need the state right now to take care of business and help us go through this. After we are over, after we get through this, we can talk about recovering the economy and keeping the profits coming and all those issues that they want to talk about.
Yeah, later. So let me ask you a last line of questioning then, because you know, I think we agree that you know the current path we're on is not good. It's bad for the future. It's bad for our kids. It's bad for the country, in my view. You know, how do we as parents, how do we as citizens, how do educators, how do we take this moment and make sure that we don't continue down this path that we've been on where the moneyed interest and Education Incorporated have been taking over more and more and more and are going to, I fear, use this moment to continue to consolidate power. What should we be doing? What is the answer here?
Okay, in my letter, I actually outlined three basic points. The first one is we have to educate ourselves to see what neoliberalism is doing to us. Because this is normal to us. It's normalized to talk about this situation in business terms. This
right.
is not a business. This is our society, our communities, our lives, our parents, our grandparents, our kids.
No, you're right. And if I could stop you there, you know, you're right that we've normalized this business kind of thinking, that competition idea that, you know, the public school should be able to compete. And, you know, whoever, you know, competes the best, they're going to win. When the sad reality is that for most of where this competition is supposedly happening, the deck's been long stacked and it's stacked against
exactly.
your local public school.
Yes, look. The next step is education is the first one. You need to understand what neoliberalism is, what it does to you. And then the next one is to acknowledge all the damage that it's been doing because we are just everything being framed in those terms. We need to change the language. We need to take this language of ours, which is, I believe, you with your show just promoted solidarity, justice, fairness, the search for the common good, which are the civic values in every community, in a crisis or after a crisis or before a crisis. We need those. Solidarity, justice, fairness, the search for the common good, because that is going to be the brick and mortar for continuing with communities, with life in our communities. And the third one, I believe, is now to have concrete ideas. In every community, you have your own need. For instance, for me, here in California, we need to convince the public to fund public education properly. It's a disarray here. California is a large state with so much inequality, despite being the seventh or sixth economy in the world. So this is not, you know, this is not proper or fair. In each community, for instance, in each state, I would love for teachers to start saying, okay, guys, we need a state bank. We need a state bank so we can solve our problems here and not to depend on the Wall Street guys all the time, because everything is, you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do anything because you need finances. And those finances, guess what, are not controlled by you. You have nothing to do with that. Just universal health care is another one. We need universal health care. So you and me and everybody else has this at least level playing field, so we know that we are not going to lose our house or our car or whatever property just because somebody gets sick.
Yep.
We need a public school, a quality public school in every community. Forget about charter schools and anything else. We need a public school, well-funded, responsive to whatever the communities need. Those three, I have a long list, but I believe those three ideas will be very good for all teachers to tell their leaders. Let me just tell these people, if you are a teacher, if you are a rank-and-file teacher or a leader in a teacher union, please use this language. Take these ideas, because if this crisis is not going to kill us, as the public education, as public school teachers, you know, we need to come stronger. We need to come with a real plan and a real vision for a better world for each one of us in each community. And these are pragmatic, feasible ideas.
Right, and it's a good start. I hope folks will take a look at your letter. The Teachers Association leaders everywhere, we'll make sure we get it out on social media so folks will have a chance to take a look at it. Sergio, I appreciate the time, the thoughts, great work. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
I'm very grateful to your time. I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sergio. Again, Sergio is a board member, executive board member with the Badass Teachers Association. Let's make sure you check out his writing. Like I said, we'll get links out. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.